Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. If you are a fan of NPR's Morning Edition, you've probably heard of StoryCorps. I hope you have. It's an oral history project started in 2003. It's collected life stories of tens of thousands of Americans in all 50 states. One book is produced, already been produced from the project. Today, another one goes on the market. It's called Mom, A Celebration of Mothers from StoryCorps, edited by StoryCorps founder Dave Isay. Dave's work has earned him many broadcasting honors, including 5 Peabody Awards and a MacArthur Genius Fellowship. He is the author, editor of 4 books, including the first one for StoryCorps, and is it was called Listening is an Act of Love, and now Mom, A Celebration of Mothers from StoryCorps. Dave, thanks for being on the show today.
Hi, Ann. I'm so happy to be here.
You know, since StoryCorps was launched about 7 years ago, more than 50,000 people have participated to create nearly 30,000 interviews. When did the theme of motherhood emerge for you?
Well, I mean, I think the theme of motherhood, and I have to say, I'm happy to be on your show because this is the publication date on Mom, and this is my very first interview on publication.
Oh, it is. Okay,
so
great.
It's great to kick this off with you.
Super.
You know, I think that the theme of Mom probably emerged in the first interview. And as you said, we're up to 30,000 interviews. I mean, Moms come up constantly in StoryCorps. And, you know, as you know, it's this, you know, it's this, what you hear on the radio on Friday are 4-minute excerpts or 2-minute excerpts or 3-minute excerpts of 40-minute interviews, and it's one out of every, you know, 400 interviews that we excerpt. All the interviews are equally valuable to us, but there are some that kind of rise up and have this universality about them. But, you know, people use these 40 minutes to come into a booth with a loved one and do these interviews, and they're very much kind of life review interviews. People think of it as 40 minutes to leave a legacy because these CDs go to the Library of Congress. So your great-great-great-great-great-grandkid can someday hear your, you know, grandmother's voice and learn her story through these CDs. So people talk about what's most important in their lives and the most important relationships. So, and moms come up, you know, basically in every interview that's done. So when we were thinking about how to, you know, a first kind of themed collection to put together, it was a no-brainer. And, you know, really fun for me to read through these. You know, it was, you know, hundreds, thousands of stories, which, you know, I worked with someone on staff here to help cull them down, down to hundreds and then down to the final several dozen. And just, you know, a profound experience to see the kind of brilliance and tirelessness and wisdom and heroics of moms, no matter where they come from, you know. And that's something you get from this book, that whether you're a you know, a stay-at-home mom or a working mom, that you know, it's the same kind of brilliance and fierceness that defines what a great mom is. So it was a pleasure.
I love listening to StoryCorps stories, and they always bring a tear to my eye. I'm kind of a sap, but still, I think most people are affected by them that way. And when I was preparing for this show, I have several cuts we're going to go through, start off in a few minutes. But I wondered if the book was going to affect me like the spoken word did. And there I was at my kids' track meet last night, blubbering in the stands while I was reading the book. And I thought, how does that work that way? I mean, is it that sense, that authenticity, that you just know it's a real person saying this?
Yeah, I mean, thanks for recognizing that. Because, you know, I think I hear all the time people talking about hearing StoryCorps and crying. And there's kind of an assumption that these stories are sad. But in fact, the stories aren't sad. You know, what you're hearing is you're hearing authenticity, as you said, in a society where we're fed so much kind of nonsense 24 hours a day. And when you hear, you know, an authentic voice telling a real story, it just cuts right through you. And I also think that in these StoryCorps stories and what you read in this book, are it's kind of humanity at its best. And just the people around us, it's our parents, our grandparents, our neighbors, our friends. And when you read, when you experience, when you hear, you know, people at their best, you're kind of walking on holy ground in a way. And I think that it's that kind of recognition of you know, kind of the beauty of life lived at its fullest that makes, you know, that affects me and I think affects other people.
I suppose in a way it's sort of like throwing out a survey and telling people if you want to participate, go ahead. In a way, it's amazing the breadth and the depth that you reach in terms of, you know, diversity. But a certain kind of person wants, you have to kind of almost fight to get on StoryCorps now. You only have a certain number of slots when you show up in a town, and people really work hard to get on. And it's a certain kind of person. It's someone who really has something important to share.
Yes, I mean we can't nearly fill the demand for StoryCorps, but we're working to build StoryCorps, you know, I used to be a radio producer for many years for public radio, and at some point decided to give that up after StoryCorps started, because I saw the power of this thing, and devote the rest of my life to building this into a national institution. And we hope someday to touch the lives of every single American family with this project. But 6 years in, you know, we have a long way to go. But something we encourage people to do is really to do it themselves. And, mm-hmm. and one thing, you know, we hope that people do on Mother's Day is not only buy this book for their mom, but also, you know, think about interviewing her as part of your Mother's Day present. And we have on our website at StoryCorps.org, you know, very simple tips on how to do these interviews. We actually have an iPhone app that'll be coming out in a week that allows you to do all the whole interview process and pick your questions and so forth on your iPhone. So everyone should do these interviews. You know, at its core, these interviews tell people that they matter and won't be forgotten. And I don't, you know, I think that the people who actually do get on the air are surprisingly regular.
Uh-huh, absolutely.
It's just us, you know.
They're not pros.
But it's when you take the time to listen to the people around you. You know, you're going to hear poetry and wisdom and grace, and that's what you hear every week on these stories on Morning Edition. I was actually talking to facilitators yesterday, who are the, you know, line workers of StoryCorps, and are in the booth for every single interviews and are basically collecting the wisdom of humanity because of the nature of the questions mm-hmm. that are asked. And I asked them, I just wanted to talk to them a little bit about their experience of being in the booth. And how it changed their feelings towards their moms, and what kind of mom stories they would hear, and so forth. And they said that, you know, after doing these interviews, and they all said the same thing, that, you know, they always, you know, would have this urge, and often did after hearing these interviews, call their moms just to say I love you, you know, or thank you. And I think that that's kind of what you get reading this book. Also, that's what I got, and that's what I did actually. You know, after you read the book, you write the book, and then it takes 10 months or 11 months for it to come out, and you read it again. And I read it yesterday. And, you know, I just picked up the phone and told my mom that I loved her.
Oh, I haven't had a chance yet, but I'll do that.
Yeah.
I want to cut to one of the segments now. It's one that it made me smile in that way that brings a tear to your eye. In this piece, Jerry Johnson is interviewing his mother, Carrie Conley, about raising six children as a single mother in Detroit. Let's listen to that.
You know, we always love Christmas. And I cannot remember one Christmas that I didn't feel like I was the luckiest kid in the world, even though now I realize we had hardly anything in terms of money. How'd you hold that together?
Well, you know, we got one sick day a month. And if I was sick, I would still go to work. I was saving those days for Christmas. And at Christmas time, then they would pay me for those days. And you know, at around the 1st of December, all the rich peoples, they would clear out their children's toy chests. And they would take all these nice toys to the Salvation Army. And I would go there, and I would get me a huge box, and I would go around and pick out nice toys. And I would get that for a couple of dollars. And then I would use the other for fruit and for food. And so it seemed like we had a big Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But I never did tell you it was a Santa Claus, because I said that I cannot give no man credit for what I'm working.
That was Jerry Johnson interviewing his mother, Carrie Conley, as part of StoryCorps. They were in Detroit. I'll tell you, Dave, just listening to their voices made me feel good.
Yeah, and that they're actually also included in this mom book. And
yes.
Jerry Johnson turns out to have become a doctor. And I think, if I remember correctly, I think there were six kids, and mm-hmm. a bunch of them became doctors, and everyone became a professional. And, you know, I think it was a way for Jerry to, you know, honor his mom by just asking her to talk about her life.
You know, this kind of a story is classic. We've heard it a million times, but we never tire of it.
Yeah. Well, again, it's you know, if you think about all the kind of, well, one of the things I've been thinking about are these kind of phony, what would I call them? Kind of train wreck mom stories that you get, mm-hmm. mom and all this kind mm-hmm. of stuff. And yeah, I mean, this is about, you know, it's wisdom. I mean, these are, you know, it's stories that make up the world. You know, it's facts are important, but it's stories that give meaning to our lives. And of course, you know, hearing people, you know, what could be more interesting than than, you know, the kind of struggles and drama that, that moms go through attempting to raise their kids. So, yeah, they never get boring. And they're all different.
Exactly. Every single one was, as we are, we all are. You broke the book up into three sections, wisdom, devotion, enduring love. Tell me about that, how you figured that out.
Well, I mean, the way it's the same way we dealt with listening as an act of love. You know, mm-hmm. You pick the stories that seem to have this kind of universal quality, and you lay them all out. And I, you know, my mom is actually a book editor, what the tradition with the StoryCorps books is we go to her house and we take all the stories that we think we're going to use, and we lay them in piles, and these, you know, thematic chapters start to emerge, and those were the three that emerged here.
You said earlier, and also in your foreword to the book, that at its center, StoryCorps is about the transmission of wisdom. And mm-hmm. So I looked for those kernels in each story that yep. I read, and some of them are very short. You know, just like in life, you can fly over your head if you're not paying attention.
Right.
And this is the beauty of this, is you could read it over again if you missed it. But the wisdom was often delivered kernel-sized. One of my favorites from the book was about Valerie and Hagos Exeber. I'm not sure how to pronounce the name, but he is from Ethiopia, and his mother came to live with them from Ethiopia in 1989. And they both talked about their mothers, but he talked about her mother,
right,
who's American, and she talked about his mother.
Yep.
And I love that story.
Yeah. And also how the mothers, you know, and that is, you know, one of the things about these stories that, you know, sticks with me again a day after reading the book mm-hmm. again, is that every one of them has something that you kind of don't forget. And, you know, and there is wisdom. I mean, they were talking about how their mothers were so smart in the fact that they always took the other person's side.
Yes, exactly.
If the woman in the interview, if she was in a fight with her husband, the mother would say, "Ah, listen to your husband; he's right," you know. and you actually that appears in a couple of different stories.
It does. It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I put the note. It's better to take the side of the person that is not your blood relative.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, even you know, I'm a relatively new dad. I have a 2-year-old kid, and you know, for me, reading it was really cool because you know, this is hard fought, hard won, you know, wisdom. And it applies just as much to dads as it does to moms.
We're going to have to take a short break, and then we'll return with more cuts from audio cuts from the book Mom, A Celebration of Mothers from StoryCorps. My guest is David Isay. He's StoryCorps founder and executive director. If you want to speak with David, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'll return in a moment to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
On the next Fresh Air, Jeff Goodell, author of How to Cool the Planet.
If we had to cool the planet off in a hurry, if we had to take some kind of action, if we have something like the climate equivalent of the sort of subprime mortgage meltdown, what would we do?
Goodell says ideas like launching particles into the stratosphere to reflect sunlight are now being taken seriously. Join us.
Fresh Air begins at noon right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. And beginning May 7th, see a new lineup of public affairs programming on Friday nights on WOSU TV. Starting at 8 is Washington Week, followed by Columbus on the Record at 8:30. Continuing at 9 is the McLaughlin Group, and at 9:30, PBS presents Need to Know, a new program with an innovative broadcast and web approach to news gathering and reporting. Watch the new public affairs lineup beginning May 7th on WOSU TV on Friday nights. 70 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:20. Sunshine today, a high of 83. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is WOSU 820.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest is David Isay. He is the founder and executive director of StoryCorps. You've heard it if you listen to NPR's Morning Edition. Every Friday, you get a little piece of StoryCorps. There's thousands and thousands of stories out there, and David has compiled several of them in a new book, comes out today, called Mom, A Celebration of Mothers from StoryCorps. David, how did you decide which stories to include in the book? Did some just translate into print better?
Yeah, you know, the whole StoryCorps project has always been kind of a crazy experiment. We opened this booth in Grand Central Terminal 6.5 years ago, and, you know, what happens when you throw this booth open and ask people to come in and talk about their lives? And I, you know, I didn't know. And thankfully, that turned out to work. And I also didn't imagine that we'd actually get stories that would be appropriate for broadcast. I thought they'd end up repeating after a while, because it is this experiment. And that ended up working, as you know, from the Morning Edition clips. And then seeing whether they translate into print was also, you know, I wasn't certain, but they do. The stories are different than the audio stories. They're when we edit these, we put the audio out of our head, because what's spoken doesn't necessarily translate well into print, and re-edit them. I think maybe a third of the stories in the book are stories that appeared on the air, and the other two-thirds didn't. And these are stories that just leapt off the page. And again, as I said earlier, it's you know, they're each one is kind of like a little short story, and it's you know, better than fiction. And it's just the poetry and the words of these folks and how they actually read when transcribed.
Let's listen to a cut from a recording by Gabrielle and Danielle Hall, who remember their mother, Martha, who died of breast cancer in 2003.
Mom was amazing. She was determined and strong and intense and good at everything she did, more than anybody else's mom that I knew.
She's still better than everybody else's mom we know.
Like the time that she sent me that poem about if you're having a bad day, bake a cake, and if it's still bad, put on a red dress. And after the first time that she'd been in the hospital, I went out and bought a red skirt.
I read that and gave her a pair of red shoes, and she would wear her red shoes to the chemotherapy. And she'd tell everybody there that you can't have a bad day if you're wearing red shoes.
There's more to that in the book, Mom, A Celebration of Mothers from StoryCorps. It goes on to, they go on to talk about, David, how they invite everybody to wear something red to their mother's funeral.
Yeah, and they're actually also talk about how they're wearing red shoes as they're doing the interview to remember their mom. One of the, you know, I'm going to head off on book tour next week. And, you know, one of the great things about being on book tour, you know, I'm basically in Brooklyn raising money for StoryCorps 24 hours a day. And I never get to, you know, meet the folks in the book. And I'm looking forward to meeting Danielle and Gabrielle and, you know, most of the people in the book as I tour around the country and folks come to reading. So that's one of the great pleasures of this job, is getting to see in person these people whose stories have, you know, touched me and hopefully touched others so deeply.
How much do you work with them in terms of the editing?
Do I work with the stories or do I work with the families?
Work with the families.
Well, we, you know, we see StoryCorps as a public service, and our first obligation is to the families that record the stories. So when you come in and record a StoryCorps story, at the end you sign a release, if you want to, that that allows us to put it in the Library of Congress, broadcast it, and all the rest. Now, if you decide that you don't want to sign a release, that's fine with us. You walk away with both copies of the CD. And what's one of the shocking and amazing things about StoryCorps is that, you know, our compliance rate on signing these releases, despite what happens in the booth, which is often so intimate and so private, that essentially it's, you know, above 99% of the folks sign the release. So everybody signs the release. Once you sign the release, you know, we basically have the right to do to broadcast it and so forth. But just to be triply sure, if we pick something for broadcast, we call the folks who whose story it is and check it with them. We also extensively fact check every story to make sure it's true. So if someone decides later that they don't want a story broadcast, we won't broadcast it. And the same goes for the book. We pick the stories, then we contact the families, make sure they're okay, fact check the story in the book, and when it comes out, hopefully they're and you know, it's always the case that they're pleased and honored that their story can be told with to the rest of the world. And, you know, in the case of, you know, Danielle and Gabrielle, that their mom, you know, will be, you know, remembered, but not only by them, but and learned from and remembered by so many.
You know, when you're talking about fact checking, I would imagine that people get their facts wrong, like, you know, what hospital they were born in or what street,
right.
You know, that kind of a thing. But have you had much problem with folks just making stuff up?
You know, I'd be curious. What would your guess be?
I would say no, because again, I would think that you attract a certain kind of people to a project like
this.
That's
right. No, it is. I think it's somewhat self-selecting.
Yeah.
And, in the history of, you know, we've done hundreds of stories that's been broadcast every week on Morning Edition for years now, you know, stories and books. I can think of one story that turned out to be untrue,
mm-hmm.
and it was actually a coal mining story. And someone who talked about an accident that happened in a coal mine that we found out didn't happen, and that's the only time it's happened in StoryCorps of the stories that we've prepared for broadcast. But yes, people can get small details wrong, but that's also kind of rare.
The one thing I loved about Gabrielle and Danielle Hall, and it comes out just as well in the writing, is how they almost, you feel like they're almost speaking not in unison, but in step with each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, or they're connected.
Yeah. You know, I think it's an important moment for people. I mean, we hear all the time from folks who come to StoryCorps that those 40 minutes in the booth are, you know, sometimes for some people, some of the most important 40 minutes in their lives. I actually was, when I talked to the facilitators yesterday about mom interviews, one of the facilitators works in our San Francisco booth, and she was saying that the sisters had come back recently, and now they're both moms mm-hmm. to talk about being a mom, and again about their mom and what, how their mom influenced their own ways of mothering their new children.
One thing that's repeated throughout the book, and I'm sure throughout your whole experience, is the parents telling a child about something that happened in the past. And in this book, Mom, A Celebration of Mothers from StoryCorps, of course, it's telling the child about a grandparent, of, mm-hmm. you know, the mother, the mother of the parent. And I enjoyed those very much. Again, so it's sort of secondhand wisdom. It's that, here's what I learned about how to raise you.
Yep.
And here's why. In this next clip, Nancy Wright's son, JD, asks about Nancy's mother, and Nancy and her mom had a rocky relationship, and she tells him about that. Let's hear that.
So what was your relationship like with her?
We had an interesting time, especially in adolescence. We were pretty compatible up to that point, and then I think we grated on each other's nerves quite a bit. And our relationship really kind of went downhill from there. She was critical of me and very judgment-laden, and finally, when I was about 30, we were together, and it was just a miserable weekend. I felt our relationship was awful. And I told her right before I left that I couldn't deal with that kind of criticism anymore, and it wasn't helping me. And she said that that's what mothers do. And I said I didn't need a mother anymore. I needed a friend, that if she wanted to continue to try and be my mother that way, that I didn't want that. But to call me if she wanted to be my friend. She was very angry and upset, and I kind of almost didn't expect to hear from her because she could be a little stubborn. It's kind of a family trait. And I think about 2 weeks, though, after that conversation, I picked up the phone one day, and a kind of small voice said on the other side, hi, this is your friend. And it was. And we stayed friends until she died, with only occasional lapses and critical judgment. But I think I had my lapses, too.
You know, Dave, it's one thing to sit and listen to that in the privacy of my own home, but to be on the air with you right now after listening to that is it's tough, but it's a good tough.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I'm just that's actually the first story in the book. Mm-hmm. And I love one of the great things about print is not only that you get to, it's not, you know, I love radio. I've been a radio person all my life and always will be. And it's so intimate and so beautiful, but it's also ephemeral. And there's a beauty to that. But it's also nice to have something that's solid that you can go back and reread, you know. And we can also expand a little bit
right.
in the book. And she talks about how her mom, I was actually thinking about this morning. She was talking about her mom as a kid and how defiant she was, and that she used to go into the classrooms and let the screen door slam behind her. And the teacher one day told her that she had to go close the door quietly 100 times in a row, which the mom thought was really unfair. And so she closed it 99 times softly, and then on the 100th time, she slammed the hell out of it, as Nancy remembers. So
yeah, there's a lot of great backstory in the book.
Yep.
little details that flesh it out. In another parent-to-child story, it's about Jose Cruz is telling his daughter Grace about living in the Dominican Republic as a child while his mother was living in New York City, which is a very common thing. And that's another idea. Someone referred to StoryCorps as sort of like a Noah's Ark. I think I saw in one of the reviews of you know, two of everything.
I've never heard that.
Some review I read. I could probably dig it up for you. It was very cool. Yeah. And it made me feel, gave me that sense of diversity that StoryCorps represents, not just, ethnically, nationality-wise, gender-wise, however you view yourself, all different kinds of points of view. And this one was great.
And I have to say, as you say that, I think you've just said that beautifully, and I love the Noah's Ark piece, but this is the real American story.
Mm-hmm.
What we hear on the 24-hour news shows and all the kind of screaming and nonsense, that's not real. The real American story is this diversity and the kindness and the courage and the, wisdom of our neighbors and our friends. And, that's what, when the facilitators come back from their tours in this bizarre job of going out and listening to these stories, the one thing that they all say about their experience, when I ask them what they've learned, when I get the chance to ask them, they all say that people are basically good, which is, I think that in many ways, StoryCorps is a heartening project and reminds us that people are basically good and really that we need to appreciate every day and how lucky we are to be alive. And yes, call your mom and tell her you love her. Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay. I was going to say one of my producers sent a message saying, how do you get a job like that, being a facilitator? And I don't want you to tell her, because I want her. But let's listen to Jose Cruz talking to his daughter Grace and sharing what he learned about parenting from his own mother in this clip. It's very short.
Are there any words of wisdom you'd like to pass along?
Well, I would just say something that my mother told me once. She said, Chichi, I don't want you to be the smartest kid. Just do your best, and I will always be proud of you, and I will always love you.
Thank you.
Wow, Grace, I am so happy that we have been able to have this conversation.
Thank you.
Be beautiful.
All righty.
Yeah.
That was...
Now I'm furiously trying to find in the book where that was.
So well,
yeah. It's the full story is, it's the story of this of Jose coming to the United States after his mom coming to the United States has happened so often and leaving Jose behind.
Right.
He remembers being at the airport when his mom left and saying. His uncle saying you're going to cry and the little boy said, I think he was six,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to cry, because he thought it was going to make him look weak to cry, and he said, I kept my tears inside, but I think I've been crying ever since.
That was a line of questioning his daughter had said, what was the happiest moment of your life?
That's right. And then what was the saddest?
And the saddest was seeing his mother go, and he sort of had to get through that first in the explanation. He goes, oh, and then the happiest moment was when I arrived in New York, and he had all kind of the typical immigrant visions of, what New York and where they would live, and it was in their basement in Brooklyn or something.
When you talk about the poetry of the words, he says, she used to send him postcard cards, and he said, I used to look at those postcards my mother would send, and I always imagined that I would either live on Fifth Avenue or in the Empire State Building, that I'd live in those postcards. When I came to New York, I was a little bit disappointed because we lived in West Harlem, and instead of living in the Empire State Building, we lived in the basement of a tenement building. But the fact that I was in New York compensated for all that. I finally was living with my mom.
Yeah, it's a beautiful story, beautiful, beautiful. And again, it's a classic. We've heard it before, but it's so touching when it comes from a real person who lived it. That clip refers to an important point about StoryCorps, kind of like that wow factor of thank you for asking me about that. Wow.
Yep. I had such a great conversation with facilitators yesterday, and they were just telling me different things about interviews with even when they interviewed their own moms. And one facilitator told me that just the fact that when parents realize that you're actually interested, because you know, usually the facilitator said the conversation goes one way. The parents ask you, how was your day? Mm-hmm. But you don't, as a kid, sometimes you know, especially if you're a little younger, as some of these facilitators are, you don't necessarily ask that question back. And the facilitator said that after having done interviews, one facilitator said with her mom and her dad, that the nature of their conversations changed because the parents realized that the kids actually were interested in their lives. So they would spend much more time talking about, you know, themselves and their parents and telling stories and so forth. So it just kind of changed the nature of the conversation between these kids and their parents.
I wanted to let listeners know that they can go to our website for a link to StoryCorps and learn more about the programs that you're offering for them online and the apps and that sort of thing to tell their own stories in their own way in their own homes with stuff that they have at hand. So you can go to WOSU.org/allsides and get a link to that and do it yourself. You know, you put a list of questions in the back of the book, Dave.
Yep.
How'd you come up with those?
We have on our website something called a question generator, which has, I guess, hundreds of questions that you can choose from when you're going to interview. And as you know, when you do an interview, it really is good to prepare and think about what you want to ask. The questions that are in the back of the book are, you know, the 10 or 15 most popular questions that people tend to ask in the book. And I think they're probably, I'd have to take a look. I didn't actually read the back of the book yesterday, but they're probably geared towards moms. They're just favorite StoryCorps mm-hmm. questions in general, and there's about 10 of them. And it's, you know, what you would expect, the kind of questions you'd expect would be appropriate for kind of doing a life review interview. And again, the kind of questions you don't normally get to ask, you know, what are there words of wisdom you'd like to pass along? What are you proudest of in your life? You know, how do you like to be remembered? Do you have any regrets? And, you know, I found myself when I write about in the end of the book, when I interviewed my mom, who I'm very close to, at StoryCorps, she was, you know, the 1,000th interview. And I think she felt that was about 999 interviews later than she should have been. But when we did the interview, I talked to her all the time, and I expected that there wouldn't be much that we talked about that I didn't know. In fact, I didn't think there would be anything that we talked about that I didn't know. And when we walked out of the booth 40 minutes later, the only thing that I had known coming out of the booth that I knew going into the booth was what our names were and what the date was. Every single, you know, thing that we talked about was new to me. And it was a lot about her, you know, her grandparents, her great-grandparents. And it's just in the normal course of our days, you know, at least that personally, you just don't mm-hmm. think about asking those kind of questions.
You know, you think you know so much. And I had that experience. I interviewed my mom, and it's only once I ever did it for a column I wrote about women that got involved in politics back in the, you know, the 60s when it was very unusual. And she was running for county commissioner. She lost with yep. 5 kids. But I decided to talk to her about that. And it was exactly the same thing. I thought I knew what she was going to say.
Right.
And she shocked me. You know, I had to the core with some of the stuff she told me about that experience, and highly recommend it. And regret only that I never recorded it. So that's
Is your mom still alive?
She's still alive, and that's exactly what I'm going to go do is talk to her about that, because I think her participation in politics was a very defining thing about her life, and it really affected me as growing up as a girl in her household. So that's my story about my mom, and I wondered.
There's your Mother's Day gift. So buy the book and interview your mom. I found out when I interviewed my mom, and this is a little bit gruesome, but she talked about her great grandfather, who was a physician in Vienna, and he had gone into a quarantine household during a typhoid epidemic to try and treat a patient, and he came out, and that was illegal, mm-hmm. and he had his hands chopped off, and they poured lye over his hands, and he died. You know, so that's how my great-great-grandfather died. And, you know, again, I had never...
You'd never known that before that interview?
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
Never heard that.
Yeah, when I read that in the book...
I'm an old guy, too. Oh, yeah. I've been around for a long time.
So. Yeah, that's a story.
And I'm supposed to be someone who asks a lot of questions, mm-hmm. you know, and I'd never heard it.
Well, sometimes we ask the fewest questions of the people we are closest to.
That's true.
So that's what StoryCorps is good for. We have to take a short break right now, but when we return, I would love to hear some stories or some ideas for interviews with mothers from our listeners, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back with All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
On your drive home, get local updates with the award-winning WOSU News Team.
The last time Ohio State increased tuition was 2006. OSU proposes to get the first hike in just before the end of this fiscal year, and also at the start of the next.
Had we done it earlier, say in the fall, our students and their families would have been out $12 million.
Hear the latest in local and national news with All Things Considered on WOSU 89.7 FM.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News. In 20 minutes, fresh air will be here. Thanks for joining us. Support WOSU by bidding on culinary-themed packages online. With the Chefs in the City Baker's Dozen, you can bid on 13 of the most sought-after Chefs in the City silent auction packages, even if you don't have a ticket to the event. Just go to wosu.org/chefs to view all 13 items up for bid and make your bid now. But hurry, bidding closes tonight. That's wosu.org/chefs. 72 degrees in downtown Columbus, sunshine today, a high of 83. Clear skies tonight, a low of 55. Some sunshine for Friday, also a chance of rain, maybe a pop-up thunderstorm tomorrow, a high of 72. Looking ahead to Saturday, sunny skies and a high of 81. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest is Dave Isay. He is the founder and executive director of StoryCorps. And StoryCorps, Dave, I guess, is going to be in Dayton next week.
Yep.
Do you have a schedule that people can go to on your website?
Sure. And as you said, I guess you can link to our site through the OSU site, but it's StoryCorps.org.
Okay.
And you can see our traveling booth schedule. And you know, we'll be back to OSU before too long, I'm sure.
We have some calls now. Let's see. You can give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Paul, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ann. Interesting program, as always. Just a brief kind of thing. I only learned this recently, and I'm in your age category. But my father, long retired, was a physician, and he was frequently called out, you know, at 3 a.m. and to the emergency room or a patient's home or what have you. And when he would leave, particularly in the cold clime of Ohio, my mother would roll over in bed to his side of the mattress, so that when he got back, the bed was warm on his side. Now, I don't know what you think about that, but I just think that's about the sweetest thing I could imagine. That's all I have to say.
I think that's wonderful.
Thank you so much. It's beautiful. Yep. All
righty.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for your call. Hey, let's listen to some more because we could go on. I just love listening to these, and I want to share them with as many people as we can. Possibly the saddest one of all, Dave, was Myra Dean from Abilene, Texas. Gives us another perspective on motherhood, and that is being left behind when your child dies before you, especially tragically. So I wanted to hear that, though, because she's so eloquent, and it's just such a beautiful story, so poetic. So let's hear Myra Dean. She's telling her friend Gary Jameson about her son, Rich Stark, who was killed by a reckless driver in 1977.
People used to ask him what he wanted to be when he grew up, and he used to tell people he either wanted to be a marine biologist or he wanted to be 10, and he didn't make it. The day he died, I was going to go out with my girlfriends, and Rich had a new friend named Steve. They were riding bikes, and I said, come on, we got to go pick up the babysitter. And he didn't want to go. He wanted to go to the corner because he wanted to watch the sunset. And I thought to myself, I don't want to tie him to his mama's apron strings. So I said, well, you watch for cars. And I left. When I came back, I saw this crowd of people at the end of the street and ambulance lights. And I knew the minute I opened the car door and put my feet on the ground that it was Rich. And I got out of the car and I just started running. A guy had been hot rodding through our neighborhood. The car flipped over and it landed on Rich. And all I can remember is they had pulled the driver out and he kept saying, oh my God, what have I done? What have I done? They put me in a police car and I just started screaming. And the ambulance driver came to me at the hospital and said, there was nothing we could do, he's gone. And I can remember having my back to the wall and I just slid down on my butt, leaning against the wall. And he said, ma'am, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but he was dead at the scene. He'll never know what that meant to me, because one of the things that was the hardest for me was, what if he was suffering and I wasn't there for him, you know? And the worst part is when you realize you're going to live because you just want to die. I thought I wouldn't live 10 minutes, and I was astonished when I'd live 10 days and mortified when I'd lived 10 months and not even grateful yet when I had lived 10 years. I was just mostly surprised. And there was no one more astonished that I'd survived it than myself. When you lose your child, it's like somebody has just amputated a huge chunk of your heart. And the difference is people can't see the amputation. I miss him terribly. He was just a happy kid, and it's been a bittersweet thing that he died watching a sunset.
Okay, you're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. That was Myra Dean. I was trying to distract myself, Dave,
yeah.
while that was running, because, and yet it was so beautifully done. Are you ever, yeah. does it ever cease to amaze you how eloquent people are?
Nope, it doesn't. And you know, every week I'm just surprised and amazed by the new story that's kind of emerged from this collection to broadcast. You know, and I know Myra, who I have not met yet, but I look forward to meeting, is really part of the public radio family. She actually works at the public radio station. I think she's a development director in Abilene, where that story was collected. So, you know, again, you never, you know, when you don't, these are your coworkers. You know, they're your friends, and that's where these stories and these fonts of wisdom can be found.
I was thinking about the copies of every story, or if people sign off on it and give their leave, go to the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress.
Right.
And I was thinking, you know, who's ever going to look at those? And I started to think about it, and there's so little written word that's personal anymore. We don't write to each other anymore, and we're not going to have our handwriting to analyze in the future.
Right.
We have our voices now.
Yeah, and the voice is such a powerful, you know, to me, the voice, the kind of soul is captured in the voice. And I think, what's maybe most interesting to me about the archive is, as I said earlier, the future generations mm-hmm. who can get to meet the people who were, you know, their great-great-great-great-grandparents. But I also think, you know, historically speaking, this is going to be an extremely important collection. Studs Terkel, who was, you know, the person who cut the ribbon on our first booth and a great hero to everybody at StoryCorps, talked so much about bottom-up history, history through our voices and our stories. And, you know, these stories, the stories you find in Mom, the stories you hear on StoryCorps, you know, touch on history, with big events and small events. And I think it's going to create a really vivid and important portrait of who we are, what we cared about, and how we lived and how we live in the 21st century and beyond.
I want to play another cut, but first we'll take a few calls. 614-292-8513. Tom, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Yeah, a couple of things. First, a suggestion. I don't know whether it's been considered or maybe it's already in the works, but I think this would be a wonderful CD book. And I think it's something that just provides more access. And I want every single bit of information you've shared here to be really pretty interesting. The other thing, in my job as a video producer, I'm often interviewing people. I try to get sort of the person on the street, if you will, perspective. I was doing a piece about a Jewish retirement home, and I asked this woman, remember that she's 92, how she felt about coming here. And she said, well, at first I was pretty nervous because I'm not very religious. It turns out that's not an issue, and I really like it here. And then she kind of got contemplative, and she said, you want to hear how I'm not very good at religion? And I said, sure. And she said, well, when my daughter was a very little girl, I told her that you can tell me what's going on or not tell me what's going on, because every night God tells me everything. And she said one day she seemed pretty agitated. And I said, what's on your mind? What's wrong? And she sighed and said, Mom, just let God tell you tonight. That's it. I'm enjoying your show. I appreciate your effort.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom. And, you know, the good news is that all of these stories are you don't have to buy them. You can go to our website and listen to them. And, you know, we'd love to have you contribute to StoryCorps while you're there. Yeah, please listen to them and do buy the book, because all of the profits that come through this book go right back into StoryCorps, so we can serve more people in more places across the country with this.
Right, and the book, as we said earlier, there's a lot of backstory in the book that you're not necessarily going to get.
Yep.
From the cut, from the audio cut, just because it is what it is. And it's very interesting to hear the backstory on some of these and more detail about that. Let's take another call. If you would like to call us, 614-292. We're running out of time because I want to play another cut. So we get those calls and letters in early. Kevin, you're on the air.
Hey, this is Kevin. I'm a cab driver out here. And I was listening. I pull up the cars often, and I hear what they're listening to. And this, lo and behold, the lady next to me was listening to that last piece, and she just had her broke down and over the wheel. So my mom and I almost had a chance to do it in Atlanta maybe a year or two ago. It's like a mobile trailer that was outside the Martin Luther King.
That's right. Yep.
Museum, and we just happened to take some relics. My mom lives there. We were taking some relics there. It hadn't been done, and I was like, come on, Mark. He's like, well, God, dog, it's, you know, I wish we would have went in this game. But anyway.
Is your mom still alive?
Oh, yeah, and I don't, me and my sister both, she's about tired of being recorded. But I'm going to go back and get some more stories for her. But,
well, we have, you know, you should know we have a permanent booth down in Atlanta. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, so we're over at the radio station WABE.
Yeah.
And you can go on our website and make a reservation. If you have a problem getting in, just let us know, and you can go interview her. We'd be honored to have her be part of the collection.
Oh, my God. Let me call my sister right now.
What a great gift.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin, get back to work.
Thanks, Kevin.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call.
No problem.
I suppose for some people it's hard to think about going in to do something like that.
You know, but even there's something about the StoryCorps experience which is incredibly, I think people cry a lot in the booth, but it's never a traumatic experience for people. I mean, it's really, I think it's a way for people, as I said, to tell someone, you know, how much you love them just by asking them about their lives.
Right. The facilitator is always right there with them.
Yes. So the facilitators are always in the booth, and you know, most people come in pairs. But if you want to come by yourself, then a facilitator will do the interview. So there'll be two facilitators in the booth with you.
I think that's neat, and that it may seem like an imposition at first blush. But just as a journalist, I know that having that kind of that third ear there creates a different sensation, and you want to tell that story right.
Well, that's right, and that you're absolutely right, and that's, you know, the facilitators call it kind of the magic of the booth, and I think that's having the facilitators there. So if you have a cranky, you know, grandma who's like, oh, you know these stories already, they turn to the facilitator, and the facilitator's kind of the ears of the world, and they'll just open up and tell it, you know. So, and the facilitators are very, you know, highly trained, and just, you know, they're hired because they're great listeners and make people feel real comfortable and allow them to – kind of lose themselves in the conversation because you don't have to think about the equipment. You don't have to think about anything but the conversation you're having.
I want to squeeze one more in. It's a story told by Robert Madden. He's telling his friend Tom Kerthy about coming out to his parents. It's almost 2 minutes long, and my producer's saying, get on. Okay, go. Let's hear it.
When I was 10, I told my parents I was going to marry a man when I grew up. And mother, you know, growing up in a farming community, she was like, ask the priest, honey, I don't know. And when I decided to start living openly, I came out to them again. Because my mother had always told me, we can handle anything as a family as long as you tell us first. I don't want to hear about it from friends or strangers. So I told them. And my father was very cool with it right away. He said, it doesn't matter to me if you spend your life with a man or with a woman as long as you make it something you can hold your head up about. My mother took some time because she thought it was her fault and she felt guilty about it. My grandma said to her, you're missing out on a beautiful relationship because you can't accept this about him. He's still the same person you raised and that we all grew up with. And I went home to visit my mom, and this particular night she asked me if I would stay up with her, and I did. And then she just started asking me all these questions, what it was like between two men and what could we possibly do and all that kind of stuff. And she's like, if you're embarrassed, then that, you know, you don't need to answer. And I said, well, I'm not embarrassed. I'm just shocked you would ask me. And she's like, I want to know. So I explained to her, and she sat there with a straight face. And afterwards, she just went, just curious. In October of 2006, when my mother was passing, she put her hand on my face and she said, you are so precious. She said, I love you. And I said, I love you too, Mom. And she goes, no, I mean unconditionally. And I was astounded. There's just such an open, beautiful acceptance. It was just the greatest gift she could have given me.
Okay, that was Robert Madden. He was talking about coming out to his parents and his mother in particular. How do you even begin to narrow these things down? You said you go through thousands of them, then hundreds of them. David, I say, how do you – just about a minute or so left, but how do you get those?
You know, it's the both for audio and for the stories on the page, you know, you just know. You know, when you hear something like that, you know it's something extraordinary. And if it has an impact on you, you assume and hope that it's going to have the same kind of impact on others. Again, you know, there is no interview at StoryCorps that's any valuable than any other one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, when you hear stories from so many different kinds of people and you know, recognize a little bit of yourself in the stories of someone who you think might be different, I think it helps us all realize that we share so much more in common than divides us, and we should spend a little less time screaming at each other and a little more time listening to each other.
Well, David, I say, what a gift you've given all of us.
Thanks, Anne. Well, what a wonderful way to kick off this book. This was an absolute pleasure.
I agree. And just to remind everybody, we're talking about the book Mom, A Celebration of Mothers from StoryCorps. We've been talking with Dave Isay. He is the founder and executive director of StoryCorps. He also edited the book Mom, A Celebration of Mothers from StoryCorps. It's a great gift idea. Dave, have a wonderful time on your book tour.
Thanks, Anne. I appreciate it, and I look forward to talking to you on the next book.
I do, too.
Okay.
This is All Sides with Anne Fisher on WOSU 820. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at wosu.org, WOSU 820, NPR News.